Ladies and gentlemen, once again, yeah, that's right. The four of us, beef, wine, and shenanigans. And yeah, that's only three things, but yes. it's still the title of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am Stephen Van Patten. As always, joined by the lovely Denise Tapscott, the fantastic Kirk Johnson, and the vivacious Mark Abbott. Ladies and gentlemen, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, they started a science fiction franchise that has perhaps, to some people, seems like it's gone off the rails in its pursuit of money. But others, I don't know, still kind of enjoy it. I am, of course, talking about the Star Wars franchise and its recent addition to its canon, or canon fodder, Obi-Wan. Something that I think all four of us were very much psyched to finally get to see, finally get to, you know, let's face it, any excuse to pull Darth Vader out of the coffin and let him stroll around and man. Hurt people.
Man, that it's, guy.
It's
that guy.
That guy. Dare I he's say, hardcore.
Yes. Oh, yes. And he's actually gotten harder as certain parental guidelines on television have laxed over the years. I mean, like, really.
It is
like,
a streaming. Like, it is streaming now. So
and it's a streaming
that's
service.
True.
Streaming
that's service, true.
So, you know, now.
That's right. Yeah. So.
No, they can make Darth Vader as fucked up as they wanna.
Yeah, I'm like, to me, he was like so hardcore at the end of Rogue One. I was like screaming, like, oh my God, he was right. Such a badass. Yes. And then to see him now in Obi-Wan, oh man.
Yeah, it makes you kind of feel funny about his redemption arc.
Yeah. I mean, that's always a questionable thing, I guess, you know.
Well, love will like make you do whole... stupid stuff, apparently.
Right.
Right. You know. Yeah, no, it will.
But yeah, redemption, that's not what we're talking about in this show, at least not right now.
Nope.
It's kind of like we're kind of drifting into old gunslinger facing old rival mode, and he's, for all intents and purposes, he has not been keeping up with his you know, he hasn't been keeping up with his fitness, as Fergie would say. And he's like, he very, very soundly got his ass handed to him, which is kind of an odd thing to see in that show. So I'll toss it to Mark. So Obi-Wan, he's supposed to be stealthy guy, right? That that's actually one of the things that I feel like I noticed throughout the arc after the original trilogy was that they kind of made him this guy that could really get in and out of places, which I guess then ties into why he went after the tractor beam thing by himself in the first place. It's like, I'm the guy who uses the Force so that I can sneak around like the Pink Panther, and I can-
Right, he's not the droid you're looking for.
Exactly, and all of that. Like, he was like Captain Stealth there. And
he kinda,
yes. Right. Even that, espionage. Which of course, and of course, when you think about it, you know, the fact that older Kenobi was Alec Guinness in the first place, known for some espionage shit. It all in a weird way kind of tracks. But he kind of fell off brand a little bit this last episode because he, I mean. Talk about he got caught. So Mark, how you feeling about that?
It makes sense in my opinion. I think I made a mention to a post over the weekend about we have to start to divorce ourselves from Alec Guinness and remember that the Obi-Wan that we meet in the Obi-Wan that we all know from New Hope. Mm-hmm. Luke is in his 20s at this point. You know, this is a man who is 20, almost 20 years older at that point. You know, he's had time to kind of, I mean, he wasn't a grizzled old man. He wasn't filled with like bitterness or anything when we met him. But this makes sense because, I mean, I think what people, because, you know, everybody's sort of like this week, they're complaining that, oh, he's slow and this, that, the other thing. But keeping the first major thing we have to remember is that he didn't know Vader was alive.
Good point.
And that becomes an emotional piece of baggage. As I mentioned to someone, I said, you have to remember, this is a man with no master. He's in exile. And he's still coping with the fact that he believed he had to kill his apprentice.
Best friend.
Yeah. A person who even basically was like, you were like a father and a brother to me. And now, you know, not only does he get a glimpse of what he is now, but he's not even, like he says in A New Hope, he's more machine now than man. So this isn't even the same person he knew.
He doesn't
know how to fight. He's never actually fought the dark side. I mean, he fought Anakin when Anakin turned, but he never fought the Emperor. He never fought any of the really, really, he never really fought a true Sith. Someone who is fully trained in the dark art.
Right. And because Maul was still in apprentice mode.
Yeah. Maul was still, you know.
And Dooku was not a master at all. No. He's more like an affiliate.
Yeah.
Sith affiliate.
And Dooku was still somebody he was close to. He was once a Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
So now you've got this guy who's still coping with the emotional baggage that he's brought with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's dealing now, and he's also dealing with a reckless little girl who basically I mean, it's funny because I just finished watching Empire Strikes Back. And if you watch Empire and go back and watch this, there's no reason for anybody to be bitter about Leia, because you see it like in Empire.
Yeah,
you see the little girl that's in this one. I'm like, oh yeah, this is, you know, the snarkiness, the
attitude.
What did she tell Han Solo? Would you like me to get out and push? You know, when the Millennium Falcon would take off, and it's like, you know, you know, it's. And, you know, you're dealing with that. You're dealing with Owen doesn't want you around. And I don't know why Owen is mad at it. Something happened. Because the last time we saw him, he dropped Luke off. Everybody seemed fine. Right. And then now Owen shows up in town like, yo, stop coming around my house. You know, like.
Right, right.
So I think this is the natural.
Stop coming around here no more. Hey. Sorry, it's the Tom Petty moment.
Yeah,
well, wasn't Owen the one in episode 2 where like they're like, we're looking for the Jedi, and Third Sister threatened him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that would make me mad too. Like, oh, I mean, Obi-Wan, you Kenobi, you getting me in this?
Mm. Yeah. I like the fact. I mean, the only thing now I have to divorce, because this keeps happening. And I don't know if it's on purpose or people just like, you know, we just don't care. But the last thing I remember in New Hope, Vader telling him was the last time you and I saw you, I was the learner. Now I'm the master. And I'm like, I think you saw him before that. Since then,
just whooped
his ass. Tossing me around, setting the ground on fire.
Right.
I'm like, damn, man, give a brother a break or something. Man. It's like,
nah, man.
It's like, oh, you gonna do me like that? I'm gonna do you like that and some.
Right, right.
Man,
you got burnt my perfect face.
He sure did.
I was pretty as fuck.
Well,
well, you know.
And you burned me.
burned him to a crisp.
Yes.
sad. I want to say even, I don't know, maybe not sad, maybe not the word. Let's call it just an interesting phenomenon based on the fact that the franchise has lasted as long as it has, is the fact that I feel like they have finally given up on trying to make everything make sense from 1977. I think this shows it to me, because just going back to Mark's point of, they supposedly hadn't seen each other in a really long time. And we just sat through, after that, after we heard that statement, we sat through another, what, 8 movies? Believing that that was a pertinent fact.
Yeah.
And now, because we want to, you know, it's like the Star Wars franchise is basically trying to make something out of every nugget of space.
Literally.
That is unaccounted for by those movies. And in some cases, they are succeeding. And in some cases, they are leaving their fans with questions.
Yeah.
Lots of questions.
Yeah.
And so, quick note, the other thing that is kind of coming up about the fans is the racism.
Oh, no.
Particularly the stuff directed at Moses Ingram, who is the fantastic actress who is playing the third sister. Third sister, for those that are just diving into this without having seen it, they're basically she's basically part of a team of Jedi hunters,
inquisitors,
like sort of like inquisitors. And they're I don't know, are they Sith? Are they sort of apprentice Sith? That hasn't been made entirely clear.
I like that one, apprentice Sith.
Apprentice Sith.
You actually have to go watch Rebels.
Okay.
A good idea of who the Inquisitors are, because they are, then, the, yeah, they, those are the guys that you just keep going. Why is there nothing that's going to stop you? You know, no matter what happened. I do believe they were former Jedi who basically, because I think the quiet rumor that I'm hearing is that Third Sister was one of those younglings.
Yes.
That were running from the beginning of the first. This is probably her bitterness at the fact that Obi-Wan never came back to save them.
Or it could be
something completely different, because you know, in the Star Wars universe, you know, when they start sending people to hunt folk down, it's never what you think it's for, you know.
Right. Well, Mark, are you thinking that instead of killing everybody, that maybe Vader, you know, smuggled a couple of kids out? Just a speculation. I don't know. It's like, she damn sure seems very loyal.
I don't know. I don't know if this is a case where Vader was reached out and reminded people who he was. You know, I don't know, these were younglings that he taught. At the same time, I'll go a step further and just say, throwing stuff out the window, we never actually saw him kill younglings. The kids that he went into the room when the little boy runs out and says, "Master Skywalker, what do we do?" And all you saw him do was light the lightsaber. We're under the impression he killed those children. Right. We don't know if he did or not. We don't know if he hid them with the intent of, "I'm going to train these children." Right. And so, I mean,
but there was a security footage.
Well, that Yoda, but not killing Kenobi a child. He was killing like a teenager. Like, the kid didn't look like he was, I mean, I don't
not
know,
like a little kid.
I don't know what they consider
a child, you know, and a teenager.
Well, I don't know if they consider when I don't know. I'm not proficient in Star Wars lore to say that once you turn 13, you're not considered a youngling anymore. You're considered something else.
You're going back. Mm-hmm. You're a Padawan.
You know, maybe. I don't know what at what point they consider you an official Padawan, and then
like how strong your connection with the Force is. Because they're really weak, then maybe not so much. But a teenager, like, hit puberty, and then, the Force is strong with this one. You got to go.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the fact that he tried to keep Luke a secret, I guess that's going to be the other piece of confusion we're going to have to get through over the fact that the Emperor told Vader in Empire Strikes Back, this boy is the offspring of Anakin Skywalker. Like, Vader's not Anakin Skywalker. Like, I just told you your son is alive.
Right.
You know, and then it's like, okay. Yeah, not a problem. Then
maybe that's how strongly they adhere to the whole, I changed your name, motherfucker. So check this out. when you were the other dude that we're not going to talk about, you had some kids. We didn't realize you had no kids. I don't know why we didn't know you didn't have kids, because I'm supposed to be who I am. You're supposed to be who you are. But, you know, let's get past that and let's just go get the kid.
You just solved the mystery. Now I know what was so special about Anakin Skywalker. He had stealth semen.
Oh, wow.
He impregnated a woman and nobody knew. Wait, he had sex with a princess, had twins, and no one had an idea. That is some sneaky ass semen.
I mean,
I think it's more a matter of sensing the good versus the evil, because in Return of the Jedi, he's like, I didn't sense Skywalker was around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Because they're still good in Vader. Yeah, right. So the Emperor's not going to pick up on that. Semen.
I'm sure at some point Vader addressed that about, you know, why didn't you tell me my kid was still alive? And the Emperor was like, you need to get that bass out your voice. So
he can't detect the good.
He can't detect the good.
He can't protect the morality and the good and the D.
That's right.
Wow. Wow.
So dumb. Lord oh my Vader. Gosh.
That's some loyal D right there. That's some good D. Yes.
You need to get that bass out of your voice. Come in here with
But can we talk about that voice? Is that too much of a spoiler?
Yeah,
let's no, we know.
I mean, we already spoiled like all kinds of shit. Yeah,
like so. When I heard him, I was like, "Please let it be real. Please let it be real. Please, please, right. please, please, please." And right. then the credits, James Earl Jones. I was like, "Yes,
yes,
Tim, back again.
The best, yes."
Which, right? of course, once yeah. again, brings us back to what the hell is going on with some of these Star Wars fans when it comes to the racism that they want to enact.
Right.
On social media.
Right.
The fact that the main character is voiced by one of the premier Black actors in history.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're having that much of a problem, you shouldn't have been on board with the show in the first place.
Right.
Let's call that what it is.
Right.
And it's not like we're occupying that much space in this big ass universe.
Right.
It's literally James's voice.
Yeah.
Billy D. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Lando. Oh, yes. And exactly.
Who? The other Lando, whose name I'm blanking on, from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, Donald Glover.
Donald Glover, yeah.
And Sandy Newton, who also died in the Solo movie.
Oh, yeah.
And Forrest Whitaker.
Saul Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
And a scene.
And Finn.
Yes.
Who also got hate mail.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he also got hate mail. Yeah.
Who also got hate mail.
But then we got to talk about Jar Jar.
Oh, God.
Am I best? I think that should be another, because I'm feeling like, I feel bad for the dude now. You made a bad choice in acting. Okay. But you didn't need to get, you need, the man quit the entire scene.
Well, so yeah. Did, what's his name? So did young Anakin.
Young Anakin, yeah. Christian Haydison. Oh, not Christian Haydison.
No,
the little kid. Boy?
Yeah.
Hayden Christensen.
No, and Tran. And Tran. Oh, I can't remember her name. She was a rebel, one of the rebel soldiers. The bombardier.
Oh,
rebel
bombardier. Yeah, because she was harassed online too.
She got harassed hard. Like
Rose Tran
dropped her social media.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but like this, I ain't seeing him in any other movies either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying, man. That's just some rough shit. That's some rough shit.
Haters are horrible. Boo haters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so now we have Moses Ingram, and I gotta admit, I found some of the memes funny, because some of the memes were basically like, wait, so where's the sister getting her hair done?
Yeah, I like that.
Which
one.
Which planet is that? What's going on here?
Getting individuals? Come on now.
That's funny. It's not even the first time we've seen something like that, because
I say because it's Disney, it's Planet Wakanda.
Basically, right?
They got their own planet in the books. In the comics, they got their own planet now, so. Yeah. I'm sorry, you were saying
wherever Steve? Lando was getting his hair done, it's the same place.
Well,
he was getting a process.
Exactly. That's a different planet. Got a
process.
I think that's Planet Sulfur 8.
I think as writers, we need to actually address this shit. Hold on. So of the black characters we have just named of the Star Wars franchise.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bald head.
Mm-hmm.
Shave head, Finn.
Mm-hmm.
Lando had a the young Lando, young Lando had an unkept fro.
Unkept fro, right.
Older Lando had a perm, had a process.
Mm-hmm.
The only one who had like black hairstyle is Reva. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think as writers, we need to address that shit.
Hold on.
Because
the name of the sister? Wait, we forgot one. The sister on the planet where they found the planet that that she had to get on the wind sail and get out to the star.
She also had you're right. She had dreads. Yeah,
she had dreads,
but not undreads, but kind of just like laid out, not done up. But you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of them things. It's kind of like, you know, you just write a little scene where. They got either got slaves doing the hair for them.
Outwave.
Oh my goodness. Or
they got somebody else, you know what I mean?
Hold on.
What?
These are the same people.
Yep.
And I will quote my daughter. Mm-hmm. Leia changed her hairstyle again.
Right.
Leia had more different braided style hair. And we ain't never seen anybody with them Ewoks do that to her hair.
You know, they probably did, because they like weave up all that them baskets and all them plants and vines and shit. They got to do weaving. How are you gonna build your house if you don't know how to weave?
My man, if you think about the amount of hair that's on Leia's head, I mean, she rode a speeder bike with that stuff tied up around.
So she still had it braided.
The hat fit perfectly.
Yeah,
and
man.
Then. What's his name say? If your hair, if you're bald head on Monday, you can't have hair down to your butt by Wednesday.
Yes, you can. Like, if you black, you can.
So
if you black, go if you Princess Leia.
There And Dorian privilege.
Right.
We ain't never seen nobody braid Leia's hair, so nobody should be touched. I mean, come on. I think
that's a good point.
Nobody even questioned that. Mm-hmm, you know, she had two different hairstyles in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the famed Cinnabon.
The Cinnabons in Star Wars.
The original Star
Wars. And she still had her hair down at the end in the ceremonies.
But I mean, that hair change, that made sense, because, you know, when she was captured by Jabba's who? Jabba's like Nino Brown in space. So he's going to hit him with the yo-yo. put some extensions in that motherfucker. That's what he's gonna do. And that's what he did.
And he did have the telex. He did have the telex. The Teal'c slave girls.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Twi'leks. Twi'leks doing their shit. So, but wait, exactly. Reva hasn't changed her hair. She just has that shit nice all the time. Right. That shit is just a nice, like mohawk braided mohawk type thing.
Yeah. And she's beating people up while she's doing it. That's the wild thing. It's like, mm-hmm. at no point does that like get messed up.
Yeah. And I'm happy for it. I'm here for it.
You know, I'll tell you what.
You seen them dance with that shit on? That shit don't move.
Right, and I'll tell you what, it is definitely progress from Halle mm-hmm. Berry's Storm wig.
Yes,
just saying.
Oh man,
let's call that yeah. what it was.
Yes, yeah. Regardless of how you might feel about Alexandra Shipp doing Storm in the ones with the Apocalypse, mm-hmm. X-Men Apocalypse,
X-Men. Yeah,
I appreciated her hairstyle too.
Yeah,
right.
It was like a mohawk. It was a straight mohawk.
Right. Yeah. It made more sense.
Yeah.
And it was also, it's also canon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They gotta That's find true. Something. Their people gotta find something better to do with their time.
They really do. And like, seriously. You know,
at the end of the day, I mean, I get that the remarks hurt and everything, but we only need one of these people to say to these fans, but I'm in Star Wars.
Right.
You just watch it.
I'm getting checks in the mail.
You will never have a lightsaber that said "Man, motherfucker" on it.
That's right.
You know the closest you will come to Star Wars is Galaxy's Edge at Disney World.
That's right.
You ain't never gonna be in one of these. So it's like the whole
you ain't never getting no check with little Mickey Mouse on the corner.
Right.
No.
Which I don't know if I ever told you guys, because you know, when I work for The View and whatnot, I always get a check and it has a little Disney thing on
like
it.
Like for real? Like
it has like I'm dead ass. It has
ABC
Mickey Mouse.
Wow. Right.
So you know, and the thing is a lot of my more sensitive mail still goes to my mom's. So I went over there. I didn't even go over there. She actually called me. And she's like, you got an envelope with Mickey Mouse on it. And I was like, oh, I know what that is, Mom. It's fine. It's nothing. Okay. Is there something I need to know? Like, no.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Mom, I got a job. Yeah, exactly. Mom, I've been working at Disney for however. I got a job.
You know what? I guess maybe she heard like everybody else. You don't mess with the mouse.
Right.
You don't mess with mouse. So maybe she was just like, "Why, man? What's going on here?"
Said, "Mom, it's your son, the one who loves you." I got a job working at Disney.
I got a job.
When that happened, I thought you were working at the garbage compactor.
Exactly. Oh gosh!
I'm jumping off the garbage truck like Girl Jones and Claudine.
Yeah. Wow.
Something, woman.
Wow. Stop, give me a minute. Hold on. But thank you, Mark, because I'm about to cry. That shit made me cry. Oh man.
Kissing with the kids and on and on. Keep on moving. On and on.
Man,
that is a good song.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
For real.
I love that movie.
It's y'all yeah, kid. Any of y'all listeners ain't never seen or heard of Claudine, go get your ass together.
Yes.
Go get your life together. Go check
that out. Get your life together.
Go get your life together.
That's right.
That's a right movie to watch.
And that was not for nothing. That was also back when you could be some kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in the day when, you know, motherfuckers had finally figured out, sanitation. That actually pays a lot of money. You get really taken care of when you do sanitation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's actually it's a very good movie if you want to understand how the welfare system works.
And child services
and what they put Black women through who were just trying to make ends meet and literally take care of their kids and how the system
don't want you doing that.
Didn't want Black women.
Man.
Yeah. Because they're women out in Midwest getting married to Mormons and shit.
Right.
Having like 17 sister wives.
Mm. Right.
Right.
One of them's in Star Wars. None of them's
in Star Wars. One of them's in Star Wars.
Oh my God.
Oh my stars.
So, yeah. So for those of you out there, and I actually have a, it's funny, I actually have a t-shirt for sale that actually addresses this kind of fucking thing. And it, on the back of it, it simply says, if there's racism connected to your horror science fiction fandom,
you're doing it wrong.
And yeah. I stand by that. I stand by that.
I just have to mention
I second that.
Yeah.
There are so many people coming to her defense. Hopefully this is true. The brother who plays Garak, the Klingon.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
The whole thing.
Right. Gowron. Chancellor Gowron.
He's Batox.
He's Batox. Not worthy of.
I'm like, the House of Gowron, the Klingon Empire stands by. I'm like,
oh,
you got the Klingon Empire coming behind you.
Wow.
But you got Commander Pike, Chancellor Gowron,
mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, and the Mouse.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Pretty much, you.
You got to check your shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You need to check your choices in life.
Well, hopefully that shit will settle down.
I hope so. Oof, I hope so.
About it.
Because I doubt it as well. But
I know.
I mean, you know, at some point people just have to like fucking start. Shit. Like shit. Being better,
man.
They shit, have like, to be better.
Shit. There's this one sister. In a Obi-Wan TV series, just one, and they lost their shit. God forbid they actually have like five main characters who are all black, just chilling at the bar, just talking, like, and then getting involved in some shit, and they come to find out, wait, are they the characters? It's like five black folks.
You know what they need to do? They need to do. They need to make a wire in the Star Wars universe.
Oh gosh.
Yes.
Where it's all death sticks.
Yes.
Wow.
Keep the death sticks. Yes.
That's what they need.
Yeah.
And then just go full diversity line.
Yeah. Spice sticks.
Not a
spice sticks.
And all the
two white dudes in the whole series. Wait. Everybody else is either an alien or
and they're
a
the stormtrooper. Black person. They're the stormtrooper cops. Looking for the dealers.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's what they need to do. Really piss somebody off. You get some braids in that episode. That's for sure.
Cornrows, braids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got some slang in there.
Oh yeah, box braids. Oh yeah.
I know, you can come with a whole...
Bantu knots? Shit.
Exactly.
Yo, Jabba, I want my corners.
Jugo the Wapa, Oko the Daha.
And could you also? Oh wow! I just had this vision of Jabba like funneling money into like a music studio.
Yes.
Oh my!
And yes.
It showing up at like the hip hop club with a chain on his neck.
Oh my god! Kind of,
you know,
and it'd be run by Twi'leks. You'll be run by Twi'leks and shit like that.
Oh my god!
Yes.
Mando coming.
Right.
Mando coming. He dropping stuff out the window.
That would be brilliant.
This is the way.
That would be brilliant,
right, man?
Oh my god!
Stars.
All right. Well, segueing. Which is Denise's favorite word, into...
20th anniversary, by the way, of The Wire.
Oh, that's right.
It's 20th anniversary. Yeah, I think yesterday of The Wire. Right.
Well, I'll drink to that.
I just remember you brought that up, yeah.
One of the best shows ever.
Rest in peace, Michael K. Williams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and before we... I was going to go into the gun control thing that we kind of skipped over last week, because I think we were kind of dealing folks out there listening to us. I think we were all kind of on some fatigue shit and we just wanted to have fun last week. But before we get into that, I also want to bring up, I don't know if everybody saw this, but Idris Elba has a new movie coming out, which is kind of looking bananas.
About the lion?
Beast. Yes.
Yeah.
Beast.
What?
Bruh,
what?
It's two.
What?
There's two movies with him and Tyndall Swinton. He has one with Tyndall Swinton coming out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. He's a genie.
300 years of yearning.
300
years
of,
yeah.
Is it 300?
Oh, 300 or
3,000? I think it's 1,000. Wow. Yeah. He's a genie, and yeah, and him and Tilda Swinton. Which
Tilda
is,
Swinton? Oh, my stars.
That is an interesting, I don't, you know, because like you have the whitest person in the world.
And right.
One of the blackest.
The blackest British dude. Yeah.
Right. String a motherfucking bell.
Whoever's doing video and kind of like, you know, making sure the they're, lighting, you know. Can you imagine? Oh, cool. My God.
Yeah, that is so cool.
That is awesome.
Ooh, I gotta look those up.
The Beast looks amazing. I'm actually interested in, because the dude from South African dude from District 9.
Mm-hmm. Oh
and,
yeah,
and,
I like
and
that guy.
A Team, he's in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't recognize the kids, but you know, we have time to look that up. And yeah, get into them, of course. But,
wow.
I'm actually liking that.
It's cool. Like I'm looking forward to that. I naturally have mixed feelings about this Elvis movie.
Yeah.
Because if they're, I don't know. Look, I was raised to believe that there was a inherent amount of racism involved in the creation of Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's from my mom's who said what she said. So
she said what she said.
if that narrative, and that narrative has never really been challenged before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's actually one of my favorite directors, Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know?
Yeah. He's good. He does his homework, though.
He's amazing.
Yeah,
but, he is. But it is kind of interesting in a day where, you know, where we have people banning books and, you know, forbidding the discussions of Black history and how this country actually treated us and all this other stuff. And now we have an Elvis movie. So that's going to be really interesting to see how that is all played out. It's also going to be interesting to see how Tom Hanks portrays the Colonel.
Mm. Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's going to be
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Kind of crazy, you know.
Yeah.
And of course it's not that often that Tom Hanks plays the villain. So that's that's a whole, I mean it's like I'm struggling to think of when Tom Hanks actually played a villain outside of Road to Perdition, and he wasn't even really the villain.
He was like an anti-hero, really.
He was an anti-hero. I definitely heard that.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's a good point. That's a good question. Yeah, like the closest probably morally gray character was in when he The Thing You Do. When he played the musical.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah.
And he was he wasn't like a good person. He wasn't a bad person.
Yeah.
He was an agent. He was an exec.
Right.
He told guys like, you know, hey, if they ain't gonna do it, I got another guy who's gonna do it.
Right.
And then you see the deterioration of the band starting from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not villain, yeah.
Right.
Not villain, but definitely but like had
morally,
not good guy.
Yeah. Jerk off tendencies, let's call it.
Right, 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 right.
And kind of like when he was coaching the ladies.
Oh, in League of Their Own.
League of Their Own. He was an asshole. That was just an asshole.
There's no crying in baseball.
He was a mentor. He was the asshole mentor. That's what he was.
Yes.
Right.
That's what he was. The asshole mentor. Uh oh. Mark, like, I got something to say about that.
No. I agree. That's one of my favorite films. So,
yes.
Yeah.
League of Their Own?
Mm hmm.
Yeah, no, it's a great flick.
Yeah,
a little bit of a tearjerker.
Yeah,
a little bit.
My sister and I relate to it a lot, actually. When we were growing up,
you played baseball.
I played softball, but growing up, because I'm the firstborn, like I'm always doing everything, and she always feels like she has to do as good as me or it's better.
Wow.
But I'm like, no, let's just play. Let's just have fun. But she has like that extra competitive spirit, like Kit did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she hates that movie. She wish she could burn it to the ground.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for Tapscott Family Issues.
No, we're like best friends. The best.
That's the one sore spot.
That's the one thing she hates.
Softball. So we don't bring up softball.
Don't bring up softball. Probably doesn't care. Maybe.
I ain't gonna find out. I ain't gonna poke that bear.
No, let's not do that.
No.
Yeah. I assume she's not home, so she didn't hear that.
She's home. Yeah. Oh,
shit. Okay. Well, we're going to move on.
You want to play some softball?
Oh, shit. Oh,
X-Day on the... Stupid.
I meant wiffle ball. Oh, nothing.
Okay. No, she's awesome. She's the best. If you watch my posts on Facebook, she's awesome. No,
yes. Yeah.
Surely
we have.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shooting in Texas. I mean, I think the worst part of this, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but the worst part of it is, outside of these children dying, is just the any sense of the phrase protect and serve kind of just falls out of the window once you hear all of the details that are coming out. Just the fact that they stood there and did nothing for what, 20 minutes or so? Like,
oh yeah, or longer. Yeah.
Longer. And just it's so, because first of all, guys in Texas, aren't they all supposed to be like, you know, tough guys? Like, remember the Alamo and
Gung-Ho.
Walker, Texas Ranger, and John Wayne and all this
bullshit? And in real life, the entire, you know, motorcycle gang out in Texas that had a brawl and a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody got arrested.
Oh, yeah, gosh. I remember that. I remember that.
Wow. It was a biker gang.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. They probably all know each other.
Right.
And that includes the cops.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I brought that up. That, I mean,
no, but it, cops it, not it doing just speaks.
Shit. Yeah, because there was that meme about everybody gets a cowboy hat.
Yeah. It just speaks to the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
It really does. Overall, it's just like, it's like you got no problem going after, you know, this Mexicans and black people and you know, guys coming across in the water from Haiti. It's like, and you're ripping up. You got all that witherall, but you can't go in and save this community's children. And can't even get your story straight.
Yeah.
Because the story changed like about 8 times.
Mm-hmm. I think yesterday they said they're not even talking to people anymore. They just refuse to talk to the press.
They've actually said that you should go through the district attorney's office, who also has nobody for you to speak to there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just keep, the thing that keeps playing over and over in my head is the NRA saying the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Well, 10, 15 of them with guns.
Yeah.
Which basically means nobody wanted to get shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that boils down to. Mm-hmm. This is probably a police department that had no bulletproof vests, very few probably. And nobody was going to go in there and get their head blown off by what they knew was behind the door.
Yeah, they said they could hear the gunshots.
The AR-15.
And the thing is, we're at a point now, I think, with this, my issue now is, why do we even bother having, and I don't mean this in an anarchistic way, why do we even have rules and regulations and laws? Nobody gets punished for any of this.
Yeah.
Nobody lost their job. If I'm sure if this were Minnesota, like what happened with George Floyd, the police precinct would have been shut down. A righteous mayor would have been like, that's it. Y'all are done. I'm killing this entire thing, and we're going to build, start from scratch until we figure out what the devil happened. Mm-hmm. But even the mayor's crooked. The mayor's basically call Beto O'Rourke a sick son of a bitch with his 300-pound ass holding on to a walker. He's got the nerve to call to call somebody names. He's hiding. The chief of police is hiding. Mm-hmm. Everybody, nobody wants to say when in actuality is bottom line is y'all screwed up.
Yeah.
You were not prepared. You were not trained for this situation. Let's just call it what it is.
Right.
Whatever training you got to become a cop did not prepare you for this.
Yeah.
Because again, in your minds, it doesn't happen here.
Mm-hmm.
The simple fact that now we're just saying that all of them are basically saying, well, changing the laws wouldn't have stopped this tragedy. Yeah, it would have. Because it would have kept the guns out of this kid's hand. And not only that, it would have put a red flag up if he had tried multiple times to get this gun.
Mm-hmm.
Including his sister, who was like, I'm not buying that for you. You ain't going, you know, I ain't like buying a beer and giving it to an underage person. But we are now, what when we didn't do anything with Sandy,
Sandy Hook.
I'm not shocked that nothing is being done about this, but the sheer ineptness, the sheer passing of the buck and the blame game that's going around is insulting.
Yeah.
And rather than you being manning up and saying, you know what, as the mayor of this town, I take full responsibility for this whole thing. I'm stepping the hell down because that's what I should do. And let's turn this over to the DOJ or somebody else to come in here and look at this because I failed this community. No, you're going to blame the teacher. You're going to blame teachers. You're going to blame the kid. You're going to start making up accusation. He was a cross dresser. None of that has anything to do with the fact that, and it was pointed out, this kid, you know why he was so successful at doing this? Is because he is, not only is he 18, but he just finished coming out of a school where the drills were a daily thing. So he knew exactly.
Oh my God.
If you think about it, he knew exactly what to do because he was, because in school, we're training children on what to do when this thing happens.
Yeah.
Right. He knew how to barricade himself inside the room.
Oh my God. With
the
victims.
The 911 callers didn't do their jobs. The cops didn't do their job. But everybody seems to be playing the blame game here. And we have parents who will never see their little ones again.
Yeah. I read an article just today, and one of the many, many heartbreaking things is that the school is now shut down. Everyone is terrified to even step foot on that campus, that they have to go to other schools. Yeah, they're probably going to tear the school down altogether.
Which they did in Sandy Hook. They had to tear the school down.
Yeah, because no one's going to.
Nobody's going to want to walk in there. But
little kids are like crying out, please don't let me go there so the bad man can shoot me. It's like, that's like, it was like a little 8-year-old that said that. I know. I can't even imagine. I cannot imagine. Scarred for life. Yeah.
But the only thing we're concerned about is saving my job.
Right.
And at this point, the only thing I could say is this. If anybody in that state still in November puts these same jackasses in office again, you deserve all of the ninth circle of hell that's coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to stand there, we cannot keep saying that change has to happen. Because we all know, bottom line is this, we already know this. The ballot box speaks volumes because they're trying to stop you from making your votes.
That's right.
It wasn't important, and I'm going to say that to every, and y'all know me, I don't use this word lightly, but for every nigga out there that keeps saying my vote don't count, They're stealing the elections so that your vote don't count. So it does matter what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we're going to continue, this is going to keep happening. If you rank and file idiots, keep allowing these people back in office because you think their interests, they're in your best interests. But it will eventually, the chickens always come home to roost.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, that fool's going to come rolling his iron side ass onto your school neighborhood talking about, oh, I'm sorry what happened to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And a predominantly conservative neighborhood. What mm-hmm. are you going to say then? Right. Who are you going to blame then? Texas, it's on you. If y'all are going to keep putting these people back in office, that mayor needs not only to be fired, but he should never be able to run for public office again.
Yeah.
Ever.
And those cops should be gone. Pension and all.
Every single one of them gone. Fired.
Pension and all.
We were waiting for
those pensions should go to those families.
We were waiting for the SWAT team. You were waiting for the SWAT team. Like, the hell were you waiting for SWAT for? You were the ones on site.
Yeah.
There's
911 calls from little kids.
Yeah.
And they're shooting in the background. And you're still not going in? Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, is there any other kids? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like Mark said, ninth level of hell is probably too good for him. But staying into politics, but veering into something that, you know, will lighten the mood, I hope.
No.
So as you all know, I've been paying some attention or been talking with Noel Castler and a few other people about Dr. Oz's candidacy in Pennsylvania. Yeah. And he was just named the official candidate for the Republicans.
Yep.
Ugh.
So
the man who don't live in the state. Okay.
That was the thing. So like when he first announced his candidacy, I immediately jumped on a computer and I think I already told you guys, and I immediately like sent John Fetterman $100. I was just like,
oh my gosh.
You know, I it's like within 5 minutes of hearing the words Dr. Oz is running for the Senate.
Right.
And I did that. So of course, the bad side of that is that now I have been flooded by emails and text messages from John Fetterman's campaign.
Yep.
Even though I don't live in Pennsylvania. But I get it. It's cool. It's fine. Obama did it to me. Hillary did it to me. It's like, it is what it is. The second I even wave a dollar bill in the air, like, you know, the stripper is going to come over. It's just, that's how this works.
Yeah.
But he actually sent in one of his emails to me and everybody else, I guess, the exact quote was, you know, Stephen, and that part's like a little, you know, because my name's like a different font. You know, Stephen, I never thought this was a flex, but I actually live in Pennsylvania, in all capital letters. I couldn't help but laugh at that. I still haven't sent me any more money, but I'm certainly leaning. Yeah, because I'll just get more emails. But
yeah, you will.
I thought that was funny. I thought that was very funny.
That's funny. That's funny.
Hats off to you there, John Fetterman. We certainly wish you well. We certainly hope that the good people of Pennsylvania, very fine people, sir, we hope they do the right thing.
Yeah.
Them and the Atlanta, don't do it to yourself.
Well, that's another one, right?
Don't let that happen.
I think it's Atlanta's fine. It's the rest of Georgia that don't know what's going on. Herschel Walker. I think Atlanta figured out like Chip early already, like, all right, we going out for Warnock.
Warnock.
But the rest of the thing, everybody else around Georgia, people are probably mad because this black girl got some good hair up in this show. What? You know, blah blah blah.
Right. Man,
this new Star Trek ain't the same as the old Star Trek. Oh, I'm talking about Strange New World.
But if Georgia don't get their act together, and if Georgia don't get their act together, I'm gonna say what I said in Denver. Y'all gonna be eating buttermilk peas in the garden.
Buttermilk peas in the garden.
Oh, because
yes.
He know what that is. Buttermilk peas in the garden.
Buttermilk peas in the garden.
Don't look directly at him.
I can use some buttermilk peas right about now.
In the garden.
Yeah, in the garden.
In the garden.
I gotta go get them.
Careful where you tread.
Yeah. I never had buttermilk peas before. That sounds good as fuck.
In the garden.
It actually does, that right? Makes a difference.
Like buttermilk squash, but it's buttermilk peas. It's like you take a buttermilk squash and you make little holes into like little peas and you cook it up and it looks like
little
pasta
butter,
almost.
Little garlic.
And it's little peas, buttermilk, garlic. Shit. Mark, you just started something. Yeah, you're in the garden. You just started something new.
Tony Baker would say, the salt, the pepper, the butter, the vegan butter, if you're about that life.
Like beef, wine, shenanigans, and buttermilk peas in the garden.
He said what he said.
I said what I said. Jesus.
That's good. I'm hungry now.
What did Jimmy Kimmel say? Did he play with a helmet?
Oh my god!
Did he not play with a helmet? He's like,
yeah, poor Herschel.
Yeah, you would think. You would think.
Ain't no poor Herschel.
But yeah, Herschel Walker. He needs to just keep walking.
Yeah.
Well, they said his campaign as he doesn't speak in them.
Well, that's
because they know.
I'm just curious to know. I know. Whoever is on that team is like, we cannot let him debate Raphael Warnock.
No.
And you know what? He's that dude that's like, I'm a debate him. No, you're not.
No,
yes,
you're not.
Yes, I am. Cause 2 and 2 is 8 on the left side when you have a garden full of buttermilk peas.
Yeah, he can't debate Warnock.
Wait.
Never would there have been a waste of hedge fund money.
Family Guy with the boxer. Who's the boxer that had that long knotted up head because he got beat up so much? And Family Guy.
Oh gosh.
It was Floyd. It wasn't Floyd. It was, you know what I'm talking about, Mark. and it was a Family Guy episode and mm-hmm, I think Peter was boxing. No, Meg, Lois was boxing.
Oh gosh.
Lois was doing the boxing and the announcer had a special boxer on. And he goes, well, you see that Meg is actually really, really had conditioning and she has the strength of conditioning. And what do you think she's gonna be doing in this first round? And the guest commentator was a former boxer. I can't remember who it was, but the way they drew him, they drew him like his head was like this.
Oh gosh.
It was like full of knots. It was like full of knots. And all you hear was, well, they ever see him like that, man, me too. They're in the box. You got to get him in the hole with him and dudes. And I started going down.
Oh, no.
I started going down. Like, no. Because he looked like Martin after his fight with Tommy Hearns.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a cartoon character, nothing but speed knots.
between him and the champ from Harlem Knights. Because that's the scene that you get that no one could ever make it through
Stan
without passing out on the floor.
Love that guy. Yeah, yeah. So somebody go get that doctor. Fuck yeah.
That's my favorite part.
When he had to pause to take a breath.
When he got frustrated.
He was so frustrated.
You. Oh my goodness. Jesus,
man.
That was funny.
Oh my god.
Good old
and then that meme I sent y'all with Herschel Walker with him
And to not be fucked up, I had a friend of mine I used to get in fights with like that, and he used to do the same thing, and we used to always laugh.
What did he say?
And that was the end of the argument. We'd stop arguing after that because he got frustrated. And
like,
me and do this to him no more.
The Herschel Walker meme, guns don't kill people, Cain kill Abel. Sodom killed Gomorrah. Kill Gomorrah. My favorite color is 15. And even if you carry the one, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, because this old man, he played two. He played knick-knack on my shoe. Like,
when I saw that, I was like, what?
And you know the sad thing is,
you know what?
None of that's far off, that far off.
Every time I hear... And this is the thing. Every time I hear dudes on my job going, come on, man, they don't even want to play like they used to play back in the day, all rough and tumble and stuff and get hit. They don't want to play a lot. And I look at them like, you seen these motherfuckers talking now? No, they don't want to fucking lose their heads.
No.
Basketball, NFL, they don't hit it like they used to. No, because they don't want to talk like you.
I used to hang with an old British boxer.
Yeah.
I used to hang out in this reggae club I used to frequent, and he, like, everybody called him Champ,
right?
And the wildest thing about it, like, he could have been saying anything. He could have been calling my moms all kinds of bitches and hoes. Oof. He could have been doing whatever, and I swear to God, I used to just get in these conversations with him and have to pretend that I understood what he was saying. And it wasn't even just, he was punch drunk and had a thick Jamaican accent.
Oh my God.
So I knew he was talking to me because he'd say, Steve. And then he would just start going.
He's being all passionate. And then
the music is loud. And
sound like the frog, though.
Oh, you're trying to be all polite.
Yes. I'm trying to be polite because, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, I'm like, yeah.
Whatever you say, Champ.
Champ, that nigga crazy. Yeah. Yeah, Champ, you're absolutely right. You're right.
That's
right, Champ.
And that's right.
Like, telling me jokes and I'm not laughing. Like, yes.
And then what happened, Champ? And then what?
It was really a mess. Oh. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of people that need to get voted out of office, lose their job, and stop making racist remarks on the internet. So in other words, nothing's changed since the last time we sat down.
Right. I want to say, like, it feels like since 2010.
In the before times.
In the before times.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the 1950s, but with that, technology.
You know, that feels like the scariest part.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen, we're living long enough to see things change. This surface element of our existence, right? Mm-hmm. Stores ain't the same stores that we did when we was growing up, nope. Right? Maybe next, like, 7-6 years ago, mm-hmm. it changed. The way people interact nowadays actually kind of is very different.
Yeah.
A lot of things has changed. What has not changed is the accountability of the powerful.
Ooh.
And that is the depressing part.
Yeah.
And no matter how, I mean, and the thing is, we're doing like hindsight being 2020, we are realizing that that has been going on since the earliest of times.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get accountability for the rich and powerful who do these things, or those who are in power, to do their jobs and to be held accountable for it. And it's not, and that sadly, that seems like, that feels like the only thing that has not changed.
Indeed.
Yeah.
In fact, to piggyback off that, it's probably gotten worse. Because now they have so much fucking money. It's like,
and globalized power.
And globalized power and people standing in front of them with guns and whatnot. So, there we go. Denise, you have any closing thoughts?
It breaks my heart that every day there's another story about another shooting. That when I woke up this morning, there was a shooting in Tennessee, or there's a shooting in Phoenix. But me being the eternal optimist, I just have to believe that there's going to be some kind of change. Something has to happen. Something definitely has to happen. Yeah. We have to do better. Everybody has to do better. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Do better. Yeah.
Yeah.
You heard the lady. Everybody. Better.
For real.
Mark. Any last thoughts? You. Well, that's great. So
I think a lot of people feel that way. Okay. I mean,
I'm kidding, Mark. What you got?
I agree with Denise. I mean, it's not, we're not completely lost. You know, we just have to, I think people have to trust, start believing that the change that they can do is worth it.
It's really going
to
matter.
And it's going to matter. And even if you don't see it on the surface, it's there. It you know, for all of the pomps and circumstances that we see going on, there are places in America where change is happening.
Mm-hmm.
There are crazies and QAnons and right-wing conservatives losing at the ballot box, losing primaries in small places. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's all we need is just to punch away at the small places.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my prayers to the families in Uvalde.
Yeah.
You know,
the whole community. I'm
so sorry that happened to you guys. And,
yeah.
You know, but Texas, do your damn job.
That's right.
And Georgia, don't be like Texas.
Yeah.
And South America, take Florida. Take it away.
Please.
As Bugs Bunny would say.
You can have it. Ladies and gentlemen, well, first of all, thank you, Denise. Thank you, Kirk. Thank you, Mark. As always, yeah, it is a mix of, you know, it's a mixed bag when we go through all these little topics and whatever. And, you know, I always tell people when I'm trying to convince them to, you know, check us out and listen to the show, it's like, well, you know, the funny thing is we were supposed to be just talking about, like, you know, horror, science fiction, you know, fun stuff, you know, but, you know, through the African-American lens. and then too many horrible people got elected to too many positions. And it, you know, it forced us to have to be proactive about these things. So I hope everyone appreciates, you know, like, I guess the sentiment, the heart of what we're doing when we openly have these discussions and that sort of thing. Hopefully, you know, it helps you. It certainly helps us. It's like practically group therapy. just kind of like how to, you know, get through the day and get some stuff off your chest so you don't have to, you know, go to work and slap somebody. But in all seriousness, I'm grateful for the time. I'm grateful for the, you know, for every moment that we sit down and we do this, because hopefully somebody will listen and then somebody will do what Denise said, which is be better. Because, said what she said.
I said what I said.
You said what she said.
So, folks, thanks for chilling out with us. We appreciate you. We're going to come back next week. We may be lining up some guests again soon. We've been talking to some folks. Folks have actually been sliding in my DMs talking about, I'd like to, you know. We may have Noel Castler back at some point because I've already visited his podcast twice. You will see that on my page as well. We get deep into some of this other stuff. And it's good because, you know, Noel has an interesting following all of his own. It's not even that it's necessarily more people. it's who is following him. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's something compelling. And it's always, it's going to be good to have him around. And I think we're going to be doing other stuff with Noel too. That's going to kind of surprise people, but we're not going to let that cat out of the bag yet. but just so you know, there is a cat in this bag. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show for tonight.
Schrodinger's cat's in your bag?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Well, I didn't name the cat yet, but
Schrodinger's cat.
Oh, Schrodinger. Okay. We can put we can do it Schrodinger. Sure, Kirk, if that's what you want. But we're out of here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being you. So go out there and, you know, try to do what we're doing. Be the change you want in the world. All right.